Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Confession of Faith 2021. This is week 41, and we're doing a follow-up to last week's. Again, we are going to be on Article 14, Cooperation. I just want to highlight one aspect of that article and then look at one Bible passage that gives a little bit of a definition to this phrase. Let's see, extension of Christ's kingdom. You can see it on the screen already. I'll pray. We'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your promises to us in Christ. We know that all of your promises, all of your good promises are fulfilled in him. We thank you for his life, his death, his resurrection, and the life that he's given to us. Father, we ask that you would teach us now by this passage we're about to look at. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, Article 14 on cooperation between biblical New Testament churches for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel. Talked about that last week. Today, look at this one sentence. As members of the New Testament, members of the New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. That's the phrase I want us to meditate on for just a few moments this morning. The extension of Christ's kingdom, the expansion, the spreading of Christ's saving reign on earth. He reigns in heaven as Lord of all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler of the kings of the earth, Revelation 1:5. And his kingdom now in the church age is extending and expanding to bring salvation to the nations, to all tribes, tongues, all over the world. This is his kingdom, and we're working for the extension of that kingdom. And I wanted to look at a Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 15:20-26. I have it on the screen, but I'll give you a few moments to get there in your own Bible so that you could see it. And then when we're done here, you can look at the context. It's a long chapter, everything really having to do with the resurrection, the significance of the resurrection for the Christian faith, for the Christian life, the Christian hope, the future of all things, the end of all things, all centering on the resurrection brought forth by Christ and how we will share in that one day fully. Well, we already share in that by the spirit of resurrection that dwells within us, but bodily one day. All right, so there you go. That's plenty of time to get to the passage in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, talking about Christ's resurrection. Paul here is arguing for the reality, the historic reality of resurrection of believers, but also of Christ. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So first fruits brings a metaphor of the harvest. It's the first part of the harvest. It's a sign of the full harvest to come. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is an idiom, or just a figure of speech for those who've died bodily. So Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. So everyone who is in Christ will one day be raised, just as Christ has been raised. He's just the first fruits, but the whole harvest of resurrection is coming. Verse 21, for as by a man came death, that's talking about Adam. Adam sinned and brought death into the whole world as a consequence of his sin. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. So here it's comparing and contrasting Adam and Christ. Through Adam's sin, death came to all who are in Adam. And by Christ and his work, resurrection of the dead has come to all those who are in Christ. Verse 22 bears that out. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ shall all be made alive. That's the key. You must be in Christ, which means you must be united to him by faith. You must come into a relationship with Jesus by faith. In Christ shall all be made alive. Now, here's where we're really getting into the reason I wanted to look at this passage. It has to do with the expansion of the kingdom, right? Remember that from Article 14 that we had just been looking at. We're working together for the extension or the expansion of Christ's kingdom. Verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. So Christ was raised first fruits, and then at his coming, those who belong to Christ will also be raised. Verse 24, then comes the end, right? When Christ comes and those who are in him are raised, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. That's describing what Christ is doing now. In between his resurrection and the resurrection of all those who are in him. That's what that verse is describing. Because it's each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ will be raised. And then comes the end. And when the end comes, at his coming, when all those who are in him are risen, he's going to deliver the kingdom to God the Father. So it's the consummation of his kingdom. Christ doesn't come back to establish his kingdom. He has already done that. He comes back with a completed kingdom to glorify it and give it back to his Father, give it over to his Father. He comes to consummate his kingdom. And then it tells us, let me highlight this for us, it's already in gray, what he had been doing all along in between his resurrection and his return. That doesn't really come up. Well, I'll just keep it, let's see. Let's see if I can do red. I know I get carried away with these things. There we go. It tells us what Christ had been doing all along as he reigns in heaven during the church age in between his resurrection and the resurrection of his people. He'd been destroying every rule and every authority and power. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Then the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Not the first enemy, the last enemy. He's reigning now. He's destroying every rule and every authority and every power. That's a way of summarizing the forces of darkness, demons, Satan, forces of darkness that are dead set against God. Christ is subduing them now. After destroying every rule, every authority and power, then he returns and his people are raised. For he must reign, which he's doing now, until he's put all enemies under his feet. He must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. That's what he's doing now. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's the resurrection of his church. So he's not going to return and then begin destroying every rule, every authority and power. He's not going to return and then start to reign and start to put enemies under his feet. He's doing that now. And this verse, this passage, gives us a clear overarching timeline of Christ's victory over sin for the salvation of any sinner who would come to him by faith. He accomplished salvation. He established the kingdom in his first coming. Now he's reigning from heaven. He's destroying every rule. He's destroying every authority. He's destroying every power. He's reigning with supreme power in heaven. He's putting all his enemies under his feet. And one day he'll return. He'll put the last enemy under his feet, death, and we'll be raised in him forever in glory. Father, we thank you for this great, glorious plan, for your mercy and for your grace that you've made us to share in Christ and all the treasures that are in him. Help us to understand what your kingdom is and to work faithfully and diligently for the extension of your kingdom in the world. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you Sunday for the 42nd Lord's Day. Till then, God bless you. See you soon.